I love that video. Isn't that great? and welcome, by the way. Good to have you all here. You know what I love about that kid? He gets what baptism is all about, doesn't he? Yeah, like he understands the beauty and the wonder and the joy of it. So we're starting this new series about following Jesus and really just kind of looking at some of these different practices that are a part of being a part of the Christian faith. And guess which one I'm going to look at here this morning? Baptism, yeah. And as I, you know, just thinking about it, I would love it if we all just recaptured a little bit of that joy and wonder and mystery that little boy had, because he gets what's so important about it. And I know that just based off of last week, we probably have a lot of new followers of Christ here, of which it is so good to have you here and a part of this and want you. Yeah. It was awesome getting to talk with some of you and still like there was a bunch and still kind of going through the numbers and everything. And I also know that there are some of you that maybe you've been a Christian for a long time and baptism was like never a thing or whatever. And you're kind of wondering about it or whatever. And I'd love for this to just be something good and positive that would just help you think about baptism. And for those of you that have been baptized, I would love for you to be able to answer somebody else's questions, that like there'd be something that you would have to say that would help them kind of capture the spirit of what you saw on that video. So I want to talk about baptism, and I want to start off by just reading this simple passage. It's in Matthew chapter 28, if you want to look it up there. Matthew chapter 28, where this is one of the most common passages of baptism, because it's Jesus speaking right before his ascension, and he gives us these instructions. So Matthew chapter 28 verse 19 says this, Jesus speaking, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." All right? And he's just like, I want you to go out and I want you to reach people for me. I want you to find people and make them into my followers and my disciples. And then I want you to baptize them in this. And that has become this tradition that has been practiced by Christians for centuries and centuries and centuries, like nonstop. You got to see it here this morning, and it's this beautiful thing. But there's this other side of it, and it's why we want to talk about these, and why I want to talk about this one is because it can become a little routine at times. Like we see it a whole bunch. Or maybe you came from a background where it was a little bit more obligatory. Like you do this in obedience to the church or to Jesus or whatever. And it's just like, okay, that's just the thing you're supposed to do. And it lost a little something. Or you have noticed, as you've gotten older, like there are all these different practices and beliefs around it. And it's just, and like something gets lost in all the different things and everything that you hear. Just for fun, how many of you are here and you're like from a Protestant background where baptisms were done like you'd see here, but it was a very solemn occasion, like, you know, like a golf clap at most at the end, right? Instead of like, yeah, a bunch of you. Okay, how many of you maybe were like from a charismatic background and experiences? I see those hands. Just need one hand. That's all. No. How many of you were a part of a church or a tradition where everyone was baptized like at a very particular age? Like you went through catechism, and then at the end of catechism, then you were baptized. It was very structured like that. Okay, a bunch of you on that one. How many of you were raised either Catholic or in a Protestant denomination where you were baptized as an infant? Okay, a bunch of you on that one. How many of you were maybe a part of a church or a tradition where it was like, okay, if you were baptized by any other church, it probably didn't count. Like you need to be baptized by this church or at least this denomination. You know, like that? One or two? Okay, yeah. So bunch of different backgrounds right here in this room, right? Like all these different things in there. And here's my hope. Here's my hope, is that I want to talk through baptism and maybe and we'll talk a little bit about theology and doctrine and that sort of thing, but I want this to be the thing that actually captures the essence of what Jesus was talking about here in this passage. And I think the essence of that will, and this is my hope, pulls you back to the way you think of it, the way that little boy did. He was excited about it. It was a beautiful thing that when you watch it, it's beautiful. When there's someone you know that gets baptized, it's beautiful. If you haven't been baptized and you decide to be baptized, that it's done out of joy and beauty, not obligation or like trying to cover your bases or something. And to do that, what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to walk through four questions. So I was thinking about this week. I get asked these questions through the years. I've been asked lots of questions about baptism. And I just thought there are some questions that I think really get at the heart of some of the more common questions I get asked, and some questions that I think are really important to answer that I want you to know. So we're going to go through those four questions. And then lastly, I want to talk to you about the opportunity to maybe be baptized if you feel like that is good and appropriate for you in this. So let's walk through those four questions here this morning. So here's the first question. What is the meaning of baptism, right? Because different traditions, sometimes we can get confused, like what is the core meaning of baptism? And to start with, it's important to know this. Baptism is symbolic. It is meant to be symbolic. How scripture talks about it is symbolic. And so when you think about symbolism, think of it this way. It's an outward expression, and for baptism specifically, of something that is inward, right? So it's an outward, kind of like a wedding band. A wedding band is an outward expression of this inward reality. There's this marriage relationship that you have, and that wedding band, or even the wedding ceremony, most of the wedding ceremony is all an outward expression of all of that. And so baptism is this outward expression of this inward reality. So then the question is, so what's the inward reality that it's being symbolic of? And there's a great passage of scripture that I think really gets at the heart of this. It's found in Romans. If you want to look at it, if not, we'll put the verses up on the screen here. Romans chapter 6, Paul walks through this and he says this. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized, so he's going to use this symbolism of baptism. He says, all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, that we too may live a new life. So he mixes the symbolism of baptism in explaining this spiritual, this inner reality that we experience as believers of Christ, of what Christ did. So I want you to think about the act of baptism, right? Someone goes and they stand in the water. This is a person right here, okay? They go and they're standing in the water. This symbolically becomes what, do you think? Jesus on the cross. His death, right? He says that we were baptized into his death. So when you're standing in the water, it becomes symbolic of Jesus' death on the cross. And what this does, if you're the person who's being baptized, it is you getting to identify in a personal way, a symbolic way, with what Christ did for you and with you. See? So what he's saying here is we were baptized into his death, right? And so when you're in the water standing there, it represents Christ's death on the cross. And then when you go down into the water, what he says here, it symbolizes his burial. So his death and his burial. And then when you come up out of the water, what does that symbolize? Resurrection. That's right. What we celebrated last Sunday. So think about this. Baptism is this symbolic picture of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And so we, when you're being baptized, and this is what I love about baptism, it's not just a symbol of something precious to me that I watch over there. And that's great. We love symbols like that. This is you getting to participate. You become part of the symbol because Christ did it for you. It is so beautiful in the fact that it helps you to identify with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. That when, right, to be in a place where you think about, like if you struggle with a sense of shame or guilt over something, whatever it is, there's this picture where you just like, but I identify with Christ's death for me. You were forgiven. He died for you. If only for you, he would have died for you. See the beauty of that? And then you go down into the water and you identify with the burial of Christ, right? And I think about how often we as human beings can struggle. Have you ever struggled with a sense of isolation or separateness from God? Ever a moment you just struggle and you're just struggling with something in life. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's just with just life in general. And you just begin to feel so separate from God. God, are you with me? God, am I so out of tune? And you just begin to feel isolated. And yet there's this idea when we're baptized, it reminds us that he is with us even in burial. That even when you feel buried and isolated, Jesus is with you. He went into the grave for you. And then we talked about this last Sunday, right? When he rose from the dead, it is to bring you and I new life, not just to forgive us of our sins. He did that. But he wants to, just like he brings us life. And who amongst us doesn't need that? See, there's this beautiful thing about the symbolism there. And let me say this. Symbolism is powerful because it connects your heart and your mind. It connects your head to your heart. And God made us to be symbolic creatures. We thrive off of symbolism. We have symbolism all over the place because it helps us connect something between our head and our heart. Years ago, there was a guy that I had been talking to. And when I first met him, he had come and he had visited here and he was kind of struggling with religion and spiritual things. And I think he would have called himself agnostic or maybe even an atheist. And he said, and I remember in our first conversation, he goes, it's not like I just believe, none of this is true. He said, there's this little part of me over here that kind of feels like, well, maybe it's possible that God exists. And he goes, and you know, you study it, there's a chance that Jesus was this real person who existed. But he said, man, I have this mountain of things of like, there's no way like Jesus could have been God and there's no way Jesus did all those things. And I still have all these doubts about God and just question after question after question. I was like, man, you got a lot. Let's chat about it. And so we started a conversation that went on for a couple of years, right? And we'd get together every once in a while and we'd just talk about it. And I remember like a year and a half, 2 years into it, we were at a coffee shop and we were talking about this. And I noticed something that had been happening over that long time period, but it's not like I didn't realize it until that moment. And I was just hearing him talk about these things and the questions. And I said to him, I was like, Kevin, I think I noticed something going on inside of you that I just want to point out. And he's like, really? And he goes, you know, you would have described yourself as, when we first started talking about this, is like, there's a few things, like, okay, I trust Jesus maybe trust God maybe in this little way here or whatever. And you had this mound of doubts, right? And he goes like, yeah. I think that's switched. Like, as we talk, you've got all of this belief. There are all these things that you're actually kind of trusting God with. And the amount of things that you still doubt is gotten really small. I'll never forget. And he was very cerebral in how he approached all of this, right? Like he's like, I don't want to make a rash decision. I don't want to do something stupid. I don't want to get caught up in something and just, you know, goes, I really want to, he wanted to follow this out linearly. And I remember I kind of said, this is kind of what I have noticed with you. And I remember he's like, you're right. I've got more doubt about God not being real and that Jesus isn't God's son than I do that he is. Okay, I think I'm ready to become a Christian. And I was like, whoa, slow down. No, I didn't say that. I was like, wow. And it was this thing where he just, the realization that, and because we talked, I was just like, you know, no one ever gets rid of all of their doubt. Like that, because that's part of being human. And what are you going to do now that maybe you've got more belief than doubt about Jesus? And he's like, I want to become a follower of Christ. And right in that coffee shop, we talked about it a little bit, and we actually went through this like prayer, just prayed about it, and he like became a follower of Christ. It's this beautiful moment, and he was happy about it. It was like this good thing. I mean, it put a smile on his face, like all of it. Right? About, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks later, he gets baptized, and I got the pleasure of baptizing him. And it was right in here. We get down in the water, right? And you know, the transition and the light comes on and they turn the mic on and I introduce him and I baptize him and comes up out of the water and he comes up out of the water and he looks at me and he just gives me this great big hug, right? And like, you see lots of hugs in there, right? Only he hugged me and he didn't let go, right? And the light's on us and we're kind of waiting for the next thing and everyone's like, oh, okay. Okay, that's just, and I'm just, and now I'm getting soaking wet because he's not going to let go of me in this moment, right? And finally, they just like, you know, the tech crew's like, okay, just turn the lights off, go to the song, right? We don't know when Glenn's getting out of this, right? And just, and what seemed like forever, right? He just hugged on me and then he let go and he looked me in the face and he was crying. And he said, I don't know what happened, but in this moment, this became real for me. And what happened was he lived through the symbolism, right? He was a Christian 4 or 5 weeks earlier. He was. He knew it. He had good emotions over it, but there was something where his head connected with his heart when he was standing there and he identified with a Jesus who loved him and died on that cross and went to the grave and came back to life with him. And it became real for him in a new way. Friends, that's the gift of baptism. That's the beauty of it. And we're symbolic creatures. We thrive off of that. And I really mean what I'm saying here about symbolism. There's something about the way God made us that we... Symbolism does something good for us. Imagine, just for a second, imagine if all symbolism was just stripped away for a moment, right? No wedding bands, right? That's symbolic. And, you know, I mean, you're still married. You just have no symbolism to it. No weddings other than you just get in front of a, you know, a justice of the peace or a pastor and they're like, do you agree? Do you agree? Great. Sign the paper, right? No graduation ceremonies, right? No flags, because that's symbolic. No logos, right? No mascots, right? Whatever team you root for, no mascots. Just start stripping away all of the symbolism that you see or experience in the world. And we'd be going, well, that would be kind of a dry place to be in, because all of those symbols, little and big, it just lets us extract the meaningfulness out of it so that our heart and our mind connect, see? And that's what baptism is meant to be. And maybe there's some of you here this morning and you've just never allowed yourself to really embrace your head and your heart coming together at what Jesus did on that cross and into the grave and 3 days later when he came up for you. And for you, baptism might be this beautiful gift of just experiencing what he has already done in you. See, that's the meaning of it, okay? Now, next question. I need to go through these questions a little bit faster, okay? Well, second question. Does it have to be done in a certain way for it to work, right? And this is about like the technique or the mode. And people will ask me about this, usually not just out of curiosity, but it's like there's a worry. There's a little bit of an anxiety there. It's like, well, what if it's done the wrong way? Like I know like some places sprinkle, other places like they make, like here, we make you get in a tank and you get dunked completely under the water and there's everything in between. And it's like How does that have, what does that have to do with it? And how does that work? Or does it, do you have to be baptized by a pastor or a priest? Because maybe I'll get people and they'll be like, you know, I've noticed pastors do a lot of baptizing and I was baptized by like a friend of mine and now I'm kind of worried. And I, and just, and there can be some mild anxiety, around all of this. I had, someone who had been coming to Casas for a while and was baptized here, early on. And he came to me and he was kind of worried because he had a friend at work that was baptized from a tradition in which they would, it was a little bit different. Because it, so here's how he approached me on the question. He goes, why do we only dunk you once? And I go, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, I've got a friend. And he said that the Bible says you have to be dunked three times in this thing. And I'm like, okay, tell me more about this. And as he started, I realized, and there's a tradition that goes back. Remember the verse we read earlier? In fact, if you go back and look at the passage in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, you'll see where they get it. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Here it is. In the name of the Father, there you go down, right? Back up. And in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And their tradition is, Jesus said, you have to, like, you're being baptized with each of them, right? You get thoroughly baptized in that tradition, right? There's no doubt about it when you're done. But the question is, do you have to do it that way? And his friend was kind of like, yep, that's what you have to do in this. And so there can be like this worry around this. And, you know, full disclosure here. There was one time that I know of that I baptized someone more, like I took him down more than once. But, and part of the reason is because when I was baptizing him and we went down and the water kind of hit him, he kind of like was like this and just reacted quickly and he started to come back up and I was just, and I kind of went with it. Only I didn't get him all the way down. And there's like this one little spot on his head and some hair that didn't get wet. And I don't know what happened to me, but instinctively I'm coming back up and I'm just like, whoa. And I just, real quick thing, right? We get out and he goes, whew, wow, that was amazing. I didn't know that you shake people down there when you're doing, because when I'm down there, I didn't see that part of this thing. And I was like, well, okay, that was kind of on me. I don't normally do that. Yeah. So, right? But here's the deal. Here's the deal on this, right? No, there's not some special technique that has to be followed. There's not, right, because it's about symbolism. And sometimes we can get very caught up in it, like it has to be done this way in this. But here's what I would say, right? A lot of you come from like different backgrounds and there can be this anxiety over like, did mine count, right, in this? And what I would say is be at peace, right? This happens in different ways, in different expressions. And if it all had to be done in a very precise, technically accurate way, right? No church would get, like, because there's always things that happen and go wrong with this. Some of you, we had a pastor on staff, still great friend of mine, Phil Lynn, who was a pastor here even when I was growing up in this church. And one Sunday morning, a few of us had just kind of kidded around with him. He was getting ready to do a baptism. We said, you know, when you go to do the baptism, because he had just done a wedding the day before, and we said, just make sure you don't like accidentally say, I now pronounce you, you know, husband and wife or something like that. And then several of us went down and planted that thought in his head. And then sure enough, I now pronounce you and he just turned red and we were like, oh man, and then I think he just dunked him and said something about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit after they were out of the water, right? But they were still baptized, right? It's not about the technicality. It's about the symbolism and it's about it being a gift. Let it be a gift, okay? Now, let me tell you just for a moment here. Let me tell you why we practice what we practice, why we choose to do this. And you'll notice we submerge people all the way down and back up. And two kind of real reasons for this, for our practice. One, it is what we see modeled by the early church, going back to how Jesus was baptized. Everything we know from historical records, including scripture, is that they baptized by immersion, very similar to what you see us doing. And I'm sure that there are things that they did in the first century that we don't do, vice versa. Like there's lots of times we wear waders. If you're the pastor doing this, they probably didn't do that in Jesus's day. Or now I wear wetsuits when I baptize people. And that's because I once got a hole in my waders. And that didn't work out so good. Quick story. Not in my notes. I was baptizing someone one time and there was a hole in the waders. But when you get down in the water, it's too late to do anything about it. And I sat there waiting for the song to end as one leg just filled up with water. And I was like, oh my gosh, finally it was filled up. I'm like, I'm glad this is done. Only the hole must have been above the crotch in the waders, because then I felt the water running from this leg over into this leg until it filled up. And then I couldn't hardly get out of the baptism because I was carrying like 50 gallons of water is what it felt like. So they probably didn't use wetsuits. I use a wetsuit now sometimes, or waders, or whatever it is. But be at peace. Be at peace. Okay. I'm sorry. One more reason that I didn't talk about in this. And it's this, for why we do what we do. We believe that like standing there and doing the full submersion and coming back up, that's what captures both in the language what is said about baptism and the symbolism of it. So the Greek word that we translate baptism is the Greek word baptizo. You can kind of see the correlation between it. But the root of baptizo literally means immersion, right? Because that captures the symbolism of it. And that is the thing that matters, because that to feel the symbolism is where it becomes this gift when Jesus is saying, I want people to be baptized in this. Okay, third question in this, and this one's really important. Do you have to be baptized to be a Christian? And I know that there are a lot of other traditions, practices out there, denominations that would either say, yes, you have to be baptized to be a Christian, or they would correlate those really, really close as if it's kind of insinuated. But here's what I would say with this. And I say this out of, I believe the Bible is really clear on this. And the answer is no. Being baptized is not what makes you saved. Baptism is a symbol of how Christ already redeemed you, saved you, and is making you a new creation in Him. It is a picture of what He's already done. We don't do, it's not an extra hoop that somehow God is asking you to jump through in this. And let me, just for clarity's sake, before I move on, I want to read to you just one passage and say there are passages all over the New Testament that speak and point to this. This is out of Ephesians, and Paul writes this. He says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." That's what makes you a follower of Christ, is you simply say, I trust Christ for my eternity, for my life. I trust Him. Put all my faith in Him. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves," right? It's not my works, neither is it an act of baptism or any other spiritual act. And I love this. "It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." It's pretty clear. It is faith alone. So be at ease. Like if you have, and people ask this because it's like, maybe there's someone you know and you're like, man, I love this person. They're a family member, a friend. And I believe that they either prayed or took some step of faith to trust Christ, but I don't know if they were baptized. Are they saved? And be at peace. Baptism is not about a hoop to get you into a relationship with God or to save you. That's not what it is. And I'll say this too. If for any reason you're struggling with that still, even after I read that verse and hearing me say, if you are struggling with that, come see me after the service, because I want to answer your questions. I want you to fully understand the beauty of that gift with Christ. And I want you to know there's nothing you have to earn or do to have that kind of relationship with God or to worry about that, okay? So if you're worried about that, you come See me, and we'll talk about it some more. But last question here, and it's this. When is it time to be baptized, right? And this is kind of a general question, like, should I get baptized now? Is it too soon or is it too late, right? Lots of people, they'll be like, okay, I became a Christian, but this idea, like, I'm not ready to go public with this. And what they mean by this is like, I'm not good enough yet, right? For some of you, you're just like, I just got baptized last week. Give me a year or two to like get this figured out and then I'll be baptized so that I'll be a good example on this thing. But that's not the point of baptism, right? And so sometimes we'll get this sense of, I've got to do something else other than becoming a Christian before I'm really ready to be baptized. But that's not the image. That's not the point of baptism. And you know what I love? Jesus models this for you. When Jesus is baptized, he gets baptized at the very beginning of his ministry, before he's done a thing, right? He shows up and he's there with John the Baptist. He gets baptized, and there's this beautiful picture of the entire Trinity there, which we don't see very often in Scripture, where all three are there. But Jesus is there in the water. He's just been baptized. The Holy Spirit comes down in the form of a dove. The heavens open up, and God speaks. And God says, okay, before you get baptized, my son, are you really committed to see this thing through? He doesn't say that, right? He doesn't say, okay, you need to know it's going to get hard. Are you committed? Are you really ready to do? Like, there's not this test of commitment. There's not this questioning of, are you going to follow through? Because I don't want to do the baptism if you're not going to follow through, right? It's just like, you know, no. And yet sometimes, maybe some of you grew up in a tradition where that was kind of, was part of it. Like, you're standing in the water and you get a little quizzed on this. I was at a middle school camp, and we had taken our middle schoolers to this camp, and there were a couple of other churches that were also at this camp, and so kind of doing everything together, and we had one night where we presented the gospel, and we had a bunch of middle schoolers from each of the different churches who all became followers of Christ. It was this beautiful moment, and I was talking with someone from one of these other churches, one of their kids, this young middle school girl, had just become a Christian, and she had come with a friend, and they were so excited about it. And I actually got to talk with her for a while. And this was, do you remember when the t-shirt we would give anybody who was getting baptized said, I am new on it? And we went, I don't know, for a couple of years where everyone would get one of those t-shirts when they were baptized. And it was this beautiful thing. Well, I had one of those t-shirts in my luggage. And as I talked with her about this whole thing, I'm just like, I want to give you one of these t-shirts. And we give these out to everyone at our church when they become a believer. So I went back in my room, I got the t-shirt, and I gave it to her, because the next day we were baptizing a bunch of these kids, and that girl was there, and she was wearing one of our t-shirts, and it was just this beautiful moment. And they had this like little pool that they were baptizing the kids in, and she was in this pool, and one of her youth leaders came up to baptize her, and she's so excited. And this is a young girl who has not really been attending church at all. She had a friend that belonged to this church, and so she goes to summer camp with her friend and becomes a Christian. It is this beautiful moment. And then he says, you know, said her name, like, and you, like, you're here to, you know, because you became a believer. And she goes, yes. And he goes, now, are you really committed to Jesus? And she's like, well, yes. And he went through all of these questions. Okay, you know, when life gets tough and when it gets hard, are you going to see it through? Are you never going to turn back? Like, and she's like, well, yeah. And then he's like, and even if God calls you to the mission field, will you go to the mission field? And she's like, yeah. And I was just like, she doesn't know what the mission, she doesn't even know what he's talking about in this moment. And under torture and persecution and Christians of old and all of this stuff about just extracting, we like, are you like, you putting, and I could just tell all of a sudden this little girl's just like, maybe I don't understand what I did yesterday, because this is starting to scare me a little bit. And I'm just excited because I found out God loves me more than anything in the world, and he forgives me for all my sin, and I want that. What she didn't understand was this whole other thing that was somehow being weighed down on her. And I was just like, I wanted to go over there and just go, watch this. We don't need all those questions. Let's just baptize the girl, right? Because it's not becoming a gift now. It's becoming symbolic of how committed you are in the face of great adversity in front of your peers or something. This is not the gift. And I just say that because, okay, if you've been waiting, like you're just like, oh man, I don't know if I'm ready yet. I don't know if I'm good enough for that yet. I just want to say, put that aside. Because it was made to be a gift. It's meant to be symbolic of something beautiful and wondrous that Jesus did for you. You know what's required to be baptized? If you're a follower of Christ, that's it. There's moments in the New Testament where someone becomes a believer and then immediately just goes and gets baptized. In fact, that's the most common way it happens. Because the only prerequisite is, are you a follower of Christ? Go get baptized and experience the symbolism of what Jesus did for you. Do you see the beauty of that? And so maybe there's some of you, and what I want to say is just kind of with this question, is it time yet? For some of you, it's maybe like, okay, I became a Christian a long time ago, and for whatever reason, I didn't get baptized, and it just felt weird or uncomfortable, and then, you know, and I think people assumed that I was, and like, I don't know. Is it too late? Nope. It's never too late to experience this beautiful moment where you get to just be at the center of this, of symbolic identification with your Lord and Savior. There's no reason to be embarrassed for that. For some of you, and a lot of you raised your hands on this one, a lot of you did, that you're from a tradition where you were baptized as an infant. And maybe you're like, you know, I was baptized as an infant and I don't remember that whole experience. And as I see this and I know that I am a follower of Christ, I would love to experience that. And maybe you're wondering if because I was baptized as an infant, am I not supposed to be baptized now? And what I would say is no. Get baptized. Experience this beautiful, beautiful moment. It's because the moment is not about your obligation. It's not about technique. It's not about what you need to do. It's just symbolic. It's a moment to celebrate a gift that Jesus gave you. Here's one way to, let me illustrate it in this way. Think of a graduation ceremony, right? When the graduates walk across the platform and get their diploma, right? That is not what makes them graduate. Them walking across in the symbolism of cap and gown and meeting faculty that are bestowing this, you know, this diploma on them, of which like half the graduations that occur now, if you open up the diploma or whatever, there's no diploma in there. It's purely symbolic, right? I remember my son Chandler when he finished his bachelor's. It was right at the beginning of COVID, and they're like, well, we're really sorry. There's not going to be a graduation ceremony. So I guess that means you really don't get a degree, which means, you know, maybe when COVID's all over, you can start all over and earn it, right? No. He got his degree. He just didn't get the symbol of it. Right? And what's interesting is, it would seem like no big deal to him. In fact, Angie and I, like, he was just like, you know, I just sit for a long time and hear a bunch of speeches. I don't care, you know, whatever. And then during COVID, for those 2 or 3 years, he earned his master's. And now, as he's getting right down to the end of graduating with his master's, I was kind of like, well, you know, he probably won't even care about, you know, this ceremony because he's so fixed on like his next, he's getting ready to launch out in his career and start all, he's so excited about this. And then all of a sudden he started talking about that graduation and how he missed the other one. And Angie and I realized, wait a minute, this is kind of special to him. He really went, and I asked him, he goes, well, you know, I kind of do. I've worked really hard for this. This is kind of a special thing. And I'm kind of nervous stepping out into the real world after this thing. And this is like, I want to get a cap and a gown. And all of a sudden, Angie and I were like, okay, we're gonna make this happen. Next thing you know, we've got grandparents making plans and, you know, and family, and he had friends that came, and we rented this great big Airbnb, and we drove up there and we celebrated and we did this big dinner and we cheered and yelled when they called his name, and he walked across the platform and we took a picture. He's laughing, opening up his diploma with no diploma inside of it, because it was just symbolic of that thing. But that's when I realized that was a gift to walk across that stage. And if he didn't walk across the stage, he still had the degree, right? It was symbolic. But it also told me something about how important our role was. Sometimes as a church, we can make it about the wrong thing, in that we see it as, okay, that person being baptized, are they measuring up? Are they really this? Are they really that? All these things. It's for them, not for us, to know that, like, okay, you know, are you serious enough about this? That's not how it works. When you go back and look at what Jesus said, it's really interesting. When you go back to the Great Commission, where it says, and therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, Jesus isn't speaking to the people to come that will become his followers and being baptized. He's not saying to every one of you who become a believer in me, you better get baptized. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to his community. He's speaking to his church. Hey, when you help lead someone to me, give them this gift. Don't forsake that. You show up to that ceremony. You show up to that moment. You be a blessing for them in this. See, that's the beauty of it. Baptism is meant to be this beautiful symbolic gift that helps people connect what Jesus did between their hearts and their head. And so in the spirit of that, we thought, if we're going to be talking about this, and we know we just came off of Easter and we have a lot of people that just became followers of Christ, and I bet there's some of you that for whatever reason, you're a follower of Christ and you haven't been baptized, and maybe going through this morning, you're like, I want to know more about that, or I think I want to do that. On May 26th, we're going to have a special service on a Sunday where we're going to make room in this service to baptize as many of you who want to be baptized, and to be a community where we just celebrate that and let as many of you just celebrate that gift. And I want to invite you to be a part of that. And if you're just like, that just terrifies me, all those people, that's okay. That's because it's meant to be a gift. But if you'd like to participate in that, I want to invite you to go right over here in where it says meet up at the West. We're going to have some people over there. Jamie's going to be over there. We'd love to answer any questions you have about it, or you can sign up for that. If you don't have time to do that, you can pull out your phone, and we've got a way for you to, I believe, to text in to be able to do that, because it's a beautiful, beautiful gift. And I would hope that you get to experience the thrill of the mystery and the beauty of identifying with your Lord and Savior, what he has done for you through his death, burial, and resurrection. It's a beautiful thing. I'm gonna close this in prayer here. Before I do that, just again, if you wanna sign up for that, go right over there, make a point to do that. If you're new, come and see me. I'd love to shake your hand this morning, welcome you personally. And if there's something that you want prayer for, we would love to just pray for you or with you. We have some wonderful people in our prayer place that would do that. Why don't you stand? Let me close us in prayer here this morning. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the gift of baptism. It is this beautiful symbolic gift that just knits our heart into you and the love and the grace and the forgiveness that you're just so filled with. And we pray that you would help us to be a community that would just bring that gift out in a thriving, beautiful way for as many people as possible. And we pray this in your son's name. Amen. Have a great Sunday. We'll see you next week.